If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hi, I'm Phil Spencer, head of Xbox, and you're listening to IGN's Podcast Unlocked, which my interns tell me is a pretty good show.
Podcast Unlocked.
What's happening? It's Podcast Unlocked. Hopefully, we've got our microphone issue sorted out.
Yeah. Hopefully.
We had technicians look at it. Big sweep in here after last week, after we missed, we unfortunately, well, you missed some of what Steve Gaynor had
to say. Hashtag Gaynorgate.
We have a new
Marty.
We have a new soundboard.
Yeah, new mixer board back here. All the software got updated on the laptop, but still need a new laptop because now it runs like dog poop.
Surprised the old terrible MacBook that could barely run the last OS. Not really running the new ones.
But I'm sure you'll all let us know if there's a problem. We don't intend for there to be problems. We're sorry it happened. Why did it have to be Steve's mic?
Right.
Why could it have been
Finnegan?
Sean's mic. He's not here to defend himself. Anyway, this is Podcast Unlocked, episode 228 for January 13th of the new year, 2016. I'm Ryan, that's Mitch.
Hey.
Marty,
hey.
Happy New Year. We missed you last week while you were at CES.
I was bummed, but it was a really good episode to listen to.
Destin, we missed you as well. Glad to have you back.
Yeah, hi everybody.
You guys missed, Mitch is on the board for Unlock Block. By the way, where's the, I thought you were going to bring in the Dookie and just lord it over everyone.
It's at my desk. There's a ray of sunshine that hits it every day.
Golden.
Like it's where it's supposed to be.
He's a humble victor.
Yeah.
I love it. So, hopefully all our technical difficulties will now be resolved, and we can go back to talking about awesome things like our Game of the Year awards.
Yeah.
Got announced. The winner, if you missed it, was the overall winner was The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt.
Solid choice.
Solid choice.
Congratulations, well, Poland.
You did it.
You deserve this one.
Marty's the honorary winner.
Yeah.
And then on the Xbox One side, our Xbox One Game of the Year was... correctly, I might add, Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Oh, yeah.
Suck it, Witcher.
on the 360 side, Tales from the Borderlands.
Yeah.
Oh,
also
not a
well
bad video
deserving.
Game.
Yeah.
Also one of the, I mean, let's discount the fact that very few games of note came out for the 360 last year.
Hey, it beat Metal Gear Solid 5.
Tales was very, very deserving. What did you guys vote for, and how do you guys feel about the it all landed?
So the way we voted was top threes. We sort of ranked them 1, 2, 3.
Weighted scale, yeah.
With one being worth more than two, being worth more than three.
I voted Bloodborne, Tales from the Borderlands, and Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Xbox One?
No, just overall game.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you say, Bloodborne?
Bloodborne, Tales from the Borderlands, and Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Tales was that high for you, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you reviewed
Tales.
It, you loved it.
Yeah,
it was definitely fantastic. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Mitch, you want to reveal your ballot?
I can't remember if I went Metal Gear first or Tomb Raider first.
I need
but
the
it was
list
those two.
In front of me.
I went one of those two.
We've all forgotten already.
Yeah. I know Fallout and Witcher were my top two.
I actually changed my vote sort of close to the end where I was like, actually, you know what? This one's better. And I can't remember which one it was because I love them both so much. But number three was Her Story.
Nice. That's a solid choice, too. Yeah, that was so good. I played it right before voting. And so it was the freshest on my mind. And it was one of the most unique, cool experiences I've had in a while.
100%.
Yeah, I did vote for Rise of the Tomb Raider, even though there were no wrong choices really in our nominee group this year. There wasn't, I would say it's fair to say there wasn't a single standout obvious choice this year. There were a lot of good choices. But man, just start to finish, just everything about Rise of the Tomb Raider I loved.
Yeah,
me too.
That got my Xbox vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well deserved there.
Mine too.
I will say back in October, I would have thought for sure this office would have voted Metal Gear Solid, because that's everybody was talking about MGS5, and deservedly so.
Yeah,
I'm a little surprised it sort of slipped in the end.
I think Witcher, Metal Gear, and Fallout sort of all
ate each other
in the. I mean, despite the fact that Witcher obviously
made
won,
it hard
I think
to
it
choose.
Was just yeah, and it was yeah. also just really yeah. big open world games.
Yeah,
that
true.
Maybe some people only got through two of the three or one of the three.
Yeah, and I think certain people kind of gravitate toward one over the other. Like there is a very specific kind of Metal Gear fan.
There's a specific fantasy fan. A specific,
yes,
you know,
like Max is huge into The Witcher. Like he loves that universe.
Yeah.
He loves that tone, and for that reason, like he voted that over Fallout, which isn't necessarily as much his bag.
Mm-hmm. Even the vote counts were very close on the three.
It was. Yeah. It was. Yeah. I don't know if we're revealing, but it was. Yeah, it was the closest vote in my. This was the fourth one I've voted in since
I think they've mostly been blowouts.
Yeah,
other than
or two.
GTA and Last of Us were neck and neck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
a couple
wow.
years ago,
okay.
But the rest have all been. Yeah, I think not super close.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was a good year, but this year it's on. I mean, this is going to be game of the year. This year should be a bloodbath with all the hot.
I already have
topics.
My front runner.
Yeah, me too.
We're 12 days in the year, and I already have my front runner.
Could be a tough one to beat.
Yeah,
yeah.
What's crazy about that? What you guys just said is, you could be talking about two different things. That's how good of a
That's
year
true.
this is so far.
We're very fortunate right now.
Yeah. So I hope everybody got a chance to play all the Game of the Year games. Mm-hmm. There were a good number this year. I wonder. I'm sure these will start like going on sale soon if they have. I know Tomb Raider was on sale over the holidays already.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll see a Witcher 3 Game of the Year edition in summer.
Yeah, they denied it, right? They already denied it once.
Yeah,
but
okay.
It's inevitable,
I'll
right? So it'll happen.
Yeah, we'll get some Fallout
after
DLC.
After all the DLCs out.
That's I am still excited for the Fallout DLC. Like, even though I'm not a huge Fallout 4 fan, I love the idea of a more segmented Fallout game. Like,
sure.
If they do what they did with Fallout 3, where it's like a contained thing.
I want to know
Operation Anchorage
yeah, like,
stuff.
I'm super into that, because I like Fallout 4. I like playing Fallout 4. I just don't like being in that world a ton.
I want to know how mods are going to work.
That doesn't even
on
make
Xbox.
Sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting, too.
Yeah.
How mods are going to work.
Yeah, on Xbox.
Yeah.
Like, I've been doing them on PC a
yeah,
bunch.
You've been showcasing some really strange stuff.
They're,
so, get, in
they're
a cool
getting
way.
Pretty cool.
The
There's
Kylo
like a
Ren
Kylo Ren mod. You can be a stormtrooper, and when you equip the helmet, your VAT accuracy is zero.
That's really good.
So you'll never hit anything.
Yeah,
so good.
Cool ones this morning. Like someone, this wasn't a mod, but someone built their settlement look like Columbia from BioShock, and then I saw like there's mods to change seasons, so you can just like.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we actually
really
covered
nice.
That one like a month ago.
Oh, really?
So that
the
seasons one has been out for a while.
Nice.
The BioShock Infinite one, though, I was actually at my desk trying to install what this woman did, and it's nuts. Like, there's all these other. You have to install like 20 mods
to get
hers
yeah.
run. She shared her save files so that you can actually check it out. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. And all that stuff's going to be coming to Xbox One and then PS4 also. But yeah, the mod stuff is all
Wait,
happening.
Is it coming to PS4?
Eventually.
I think they said after Xbox
yeah.
One,
oh,
like just down
okay.
down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Todd had told me. But all right, let's move on. It's relatively quiet. I'll guarantee this, it's not going to be a 2-hour show again.
I was about to say, that was a shorter segment than the first segment last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. That first segment was really good, though.
It is 10% short. Or 10% of the total.
90% short. All right, be right back with some news for you. All right, news time as construction continues behind us. Hopefully no one in the audience hears this, but God, it's making me crazy. I might just throw a microphone through a wall before the show's over.
Sounds
about right.
Solid start to 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this week, not a lot happening, but some stories worth discussing. First up is this one came out of nowhere, almost literally, because this guy is now nowhere. He just sort of disappeared. Leslie Benzies is a guy you probably haven't heard of, I'm going to guess.
But you've probably...
You've seen his name in credits.
And you've probably played a lot of what he's done.
Yeah. He's the basically the mastermind behind the Grand Theft Auto series, yeah. along with like the Housers write it.
Yeah.
Write it with him. But he's sort of the design guru. Yeah.
He makes it happen.
He does. Yeah. Well, and he's been there since 3. Since it all took off. So Leslie Benzies took a sabbatical in September of 2014, which at a lot of companies, if you're there long enough, you can earn. I've heard of a lot of Microsoft people, lifers who, after they work there for 10 years or something, get a multi-month sabbatical.
Well-deserved. Because this would have been September. That would have been right when it launched. GTA 5 launched on last gen, correct?
On this gen.
2014.
Jesus. Yeah. How do you work?
Yeah. September 2013.
Yeah, oh, that was
for the 360 PS3.
Death is so close, Rob.
I know. It's sneaking up on you, Marty.
Death is so close.
Jesus. Is an animal dying? I think it's that they're murdering an elephant.
Yeah, that's
there.
What I thought too.
Guys, we now have real cool ivory keyboards.
Boy, the feel of this keyboard's so nice. And anyway, yeah, so Benzie's took a sabbatical in September of 2014, never came back. And that's just sort of word leaked out through Kotaku broke this, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hot scoops.
And it's, it's interesting. People move on in the video game world. The video game industry, for those of you that don't know, is really transitory. It's a very, it is a nomadic life.
Yeah.
If you most people don't work at one developer for years and years and years. What do you guys?
Can you have a serious conversation?
I'm trying to power through.
There's a cool episode of Tool Time being filmed right outside the podcast. Tim Allen's gonna bust through the wall. But no, I mean, we know so many developers who've worked at 5 different studios.
Yeah.
People who've gone from AAA to indie, or people who've worked at 4 different studios in Montreal,
right?
Something like that.
Yeah, but so it's not an unusual practice at all. But the thing is, Grand Theft Auto has been such a special series in that it has been. I think part of the reason Grand Theft Auto is so good is not only the talent behind it, but the fact that Rockstar has managed to keep that talent together. Basically, since 3, the core, the leads on that series have mostly all been together for over 10, 15 years now. So that's why when I saw this story, I kind of got sad because it's like, oh, this is not that GTA is going to stop being good.
No, Rockstar is ruined.
Yeah.
But
Red Dead 2 is never happening.
But yeah, I don't know, for some reason that I can't even really quantify, something that's just made me sad.
Yeah, totally.
I was just sad to see this. The end of an era.
Did
here.
Rockstar North make Red Dead?
No, but the reason Mitch brings that up is because when you fire up Red Dead Redemption and the credits are rolling, Leslie's is one of the first names that comes up because he, North assisted.
Sure.
San Diego made? Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the former Midnight Club people.
Are they still around?
Oh, fun fact.
They shut down Vancouver and now they're in.
No, San Diego's still around.
San Diego's definitely still around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. We don't know what they're up to yet.
Better be doing a Red Dead.
I wouldn't be too sad.
I can't imagine it's Midnight Club, but you never know.
Please
it's don't. Rockstar will. They're not.
What if they combine those universes and those cars travel through time and fight cowboys?
But they play table tennis to win battles.
Yeah. But then there's table tennis. And then state of emergency?
And then it turns into a manhunt.
And the Warriors come. The Rockstar Cinematic Universe, kill me now.
And everyone rides unicycles. DMA did Uniracers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Marsden, come out to play!
I can get behind all this.
I wouldn't be too sad about Leslie, though. I mean, this must be what the person wanted,
Yeah, what's interesting about this is I've heard, it's not like I know a million people that have gone on sabbatical, but over the years of my career, particularly having focused on covering Microsoft for that most of that career, I've seen a number of people or heard of a number of people that go on sabbatical, and it seems like more often than not they either don't come back or they come back for 5 minutes and then be like, I liked not working better, bye. Because whether it's tenured Microsoft people or in this case Leslie Benzies at Rockstar, you've got enough
money
in the bank, either you might have stock options potentially. I mean, I don't know what Leslie's situation is, but you've got some sort of stake in things or incentives.
You get a percentage of sales and stuff
That you can just retire early. I mean, you know, Robbie Bach, who ran the Xbox division from the beginning, he walked away at age... He was 49, the guy retired.
Wow.
I read his book.
That's inspirational.
The guy's 49, and he's
living
like,
the dream.
Peace. Yeah. I'm done. Mm. So,
No, I was going to tell a weird sabbatical story.
Do it.
Okay.
Now's the time.
The only person I know who ever went on sabbatical, it was a girl I dated in college. Her dad, who was a history professor, went on a sabbatical and wrote a book about how both the JFK assassination and 9/11 were inside jobs. And when he came back, he got fired. Because it turns out when you're a history professor at like a widely renowned college, you probably shouldn't be doing that.
Not doing conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, man, that's great.
Yeah,
that's the only, were they published or did you just
only,
write?
Yep. Yeah. That's the only dude I ever know who went on a sabbatical.
But yeah, I mean, to your point, Destin, I gotta figure. First, I as purely guessing, I don't think Leslie Benzies will come back. I think he will.
Interesting.
Because after you've made the GTA, your only other choice is to do the tiniest of tiny indie games, right? If you just have some little passion thing you want to do, but I can't imagine he's going to go work for EA or Ubisoft.
Right.
Yeah, will he get phone calls? Yes. He's already getting phone calls.
I mean, yeah, Rockstar has sort of unprecedented carte blanche in the video game industry. Yeah. Like very few, aside from maybe Valve internal, like no one really has that sort of freedom.
Right.
I don't know, but though,
like,
I don't know a whole lot about Leslie, but like,
that.
What?
He's not going to go anywhere. He can't have that.
Yeah, no, totally. But I don't know, like, I don't know Leslie. But I imagine if there's someone that creative, I feel like eventually you're going to get bored and you're going to want to make something.
Not necessarily a video game.
Yeah. Not necessarily a video game. I mean, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
we have more on that subject later in the show.
Ooh. I don't even know what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You wrote it down.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, that thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe Leslie just wants to, like, learn, like, go and read about. And learn a new language.
It's
or something.
Entirely possible.
Maybe,
like,
I've to learn how to commit real.
I've
crimes.
Always said, like, so if I hit that $1.5 billion Powerball jackpot by the time this show airs, I will literally what I'm going to do. And some people might laugh at this. I'm going to leave IGN and I'm going to buy a piece of land between, like, you know, between 280 and Highway 1, sort of that like in between that weird farm,
the Nexus we call it.
And I'm going to start a boxer rescue farm, and I'm just going to work with. And I'm going to save boxers and rehabilitate them and adopt
boxers,
them.
Boxers, the dogs, not boxers.
Yeah,
the men
not the
fight.
Fighters.
No.
So that's a bit of a departure from what you've been doing.
Can I work at your doghouse?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Does that make me the host of the podcast now?
Yes.
Crushed it.
Ryan and I are just going to eat
just
in and out and hang out with dogs
I'm just
all day.
Combine this and Beyond Fight.
That is literally where you'll find me.
Marty can never
and
join
that. I can never
that.
Visit you guys.
Yeah.
I would. And I would just do the occasional freelance review to kind of keep my toe in the water.
We'd start a dog cast.
Oh, yeah. Instead of dogs playing poker, it's dogs podcasting.
What, do you keep doing your Tesla podcast?
Maybe. I don't know.
At that point, I'd buy a Tesla.
Yeah. I'd probably buy a piece of Tesla, like 10% of the company. I'll have some of that. Anyway.
Get drinks with
you could be
Elon.
You could be living on Tacoma.
That's true.
Yeah, you become a cool space
build man. The space station.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my guess is Leslie will not come back because I got to figure he probably was making seven figures if not close to it because there's no way like the key people on the biggest game franchise the world has ever seen and yes I'm putting that above Call of Duty I got to figure he was extremely well compensated and he probably also had crazy milestones and bonuses built in like. As GTA sold, what, 50-something million copies, correct? You got to figure there was a fat bonus for 10 million, probably for 20, probably for 30. And I'll bet by 50, like, I wonder if even 50 they didn't expect. Like, I wonder what their internal expectation was.
Yeah.
But 50, there's got to be a bonus for 50. And I got to figure he's got enough to.
Well, and you're just talking about GTA 5.
Just 5, yeah.
And let alone
4
and
three
Vice City.
Vice City and San Andreas.
Chinatown Wars, guys.
Shut up. Also, I assume Rockstar North didn't do that?
Probably not.
They did not.
Yeah.
No.
I like Chinatown Wars.
Whatever. Leslie probably has
Uniracers,
though.
Uniracers.
I really like Uniracers.
Yeah. So I think he's not coming back, and more power to him if he doesn't. If he's, as you say, Destin, he may be academically enriching himself or starting a dog rescue farm for all we know. But GTA will move on. Yeah,
Chop's
good
dog
for him.
Rescue farm.
Yeah.
Was Chop a boxer?
No, Chop
was a
bulldog.
Rottweiler.
Rottweiler? I can't remember.
Dachshund.
Can we start doing dog trivia? Because that Dookie will be mine.
I don't know dogs very well.
Clearly.
Labs, huskies.
Dude, I don't know.
Got those.
I don't know
I'll
dogs.
Give you $1,000 to differentiate.
I don't know. I don't know dogs very well. Someone was like, "What kind of a dog does she have?" And I said, "Brown, medium." And that was it. And they're like, "Does it have long hair?" And I'm like, "Kinda." And I was like, "Its name's Littles." And they're like, "You even know what gender it is?" And I'm like, "No." Littles could be a boy or a girl.
Yeah, Marty's not gonna check under the hood.
Why am I gonna? Why am I gonna learn about something that could kill me? Everyone should probably actually learn.
Yeah, 100%.
I imagine Marty writing a book and describing a room. There were chairs.
a
window.
Her dog walked into the room. It was brown, medium. Its name was Littles.
Marty, that dog had rabies. If it had been, you know.
Marty, that was a cat.
Oh man. So. Best of luck to Leslie Benzies in what I predict is retirement. Do you guys think he's coming back?
I think he's going to make a cool freemium game on my phone.
He's going to make a match
with
three
with a Rottweiler
game.
In it?
Yeah.
Match three Rottweilers.
Which is three different types of drugs.
I think Leslie's gone.
I don't think anyone's gone. No one's gone as long as we remember them.
Well, we'll remember.
Like David Bowie?
No, that was Star Trek. Also David Bowie.
Oh.
I like David Bowie.
Me too.
Way this to bring it down.
What do you mean bring it
I
down?
Like David Bowie.
We're celebrating.
I'm feeling good. Like
yeah, we David did a whole Bowie. We did a whole segment on Beyond about his influence on video games.
Really? We're talking about Leslie retiring, not dying, though.
No, we're not.
What is death if not retiring from life?
Okay.
Ryan, please, for the love of Christ, get us to the next segment. Yeah.
There's another story underneath that one, Ryan. You wrote it.
Homefront, the Revolution.
Woo!
That's a video game that's coming out that a lot of people actually...
Wait, what'd you say? What was that second part?
Homefront coming out.
It's a video game that's coming out.
That's surprising.
Yeah. I also did not believe this game was real.
Game has had some tough times.
Yeah.
This series has had some tough times. Let's do a quick history lesson, shall we?
Yeah.
Back in the Wayback Machine. Yeah.
Millions of dollars in marketing were spent.
Homefront was a game made by Chaos Studios, which was a studio full of wonderful people in New York City, in Manhattan, where there really aren't any studios, presumably because the city's so friggin' expensive. But that
doesn't
there are lots
this.
Of there are lots of studios here.
Doesn't stop this hellhole.
Which makes no sense. But anyway, I visited Chaos actually twice. Their Frontlines Fuel of War, which was a super underrated 360 game.
Super ambitious.
The single player was okay, but the multiplayer was phenomenal.
You may notice a theme in a few minutes.
The reason is because Chaos got their start as they were a mod team that made the very, very popular Desert Combat mod for Battlefield 1942. So anyway, they ended up going pro, effectively. They got a deal with THQ to make Homefront, which I reviewed for OXM.
I'm so sorry.
It was a game.
I finished the campaign in one sitting because it was 3 hours long.
Yeah, wow.
It also felt like 30.
Really no,
did not it, like that campaign at all.
So, you start in Colorado, and in 3 hours, you're in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. That's literally impossible. Yeah. you can't even do that because you're walking for most of it until there's a helicopter. You like basically
you take
a helicopter
chopper.
To like, oh, okay, we're in San Francisco.
You go over a mountain and
we're
you're
there.
In the bay.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good.
It was. Yeah, the campaign was. Yeah, just a. It had the seeds of something good, but it didn't cash it in, except when you got to the multiplayer mode. And like Frontline's Fuel of War, it had this incredible lot of vehicles and drones and stuff that kind of became popular after. They were sort of a little ahead of the curve on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the multiplayer for Homefront was great, but Mitch, you're referencing the balloon incident.
Oh, God, yeah. I forgot about
it
that
was
one.
Nina's 99 balloons, all into the...
Straight
San
into
Francisco
the San Francisco Bay.
Yeah, they released a bunch of balloons as a PR stunt during GDC,
correct.
I want to say, when everyone was in the
bunch
city
of red
San
balloons.
Francisco. And the
99.
I think there was just a very windy day, and all the balloons just immediately went into the water, and all of a sudden there was all these balloons in the San Francisco Bay, and everyone's like, well, that's
Coast Guard was real mad.
That's terrible for every living thing in the water.
Yeah, if you're gonna put balloons in a body of water, San Francisco is the last place you want to do that, because... They're going to get on your ass.
We take our sea lions very seriously.
Like, welcome to Hippie Town. Get your balloons out of the water.
Yeah. Hey, you got to clean that up.
Yeah. That was bad. But then, so So, originally Homefront 2, you played.
No, yes, I'll get to that.
Yeah.
But so the next part of the story with Homefront is the game sold okay.
It actually like, did still, like, it did pretty well.
Yeah. But Chaos was closed down, presumably because of the expense of running the studio. That was also as THQ was starting to lose money in a bad, bad way. They opened a new studio called THQ in Montreal. I think it was just THQ Montreal.
Yep.
And they invited some Chaos people to go there, but it was also, you know, new developers who'd probably work for cheaper.
That was also the studio headed by Patrice Désilets from Assassin's Creed.
Interesting. I was not aware of that.
Was that he was working on 1666?
So you have Chaos closes down. You have the Homefront 2 gets started in Montreal. Then THQ burns to the ground. Smoldering flames. Just the wreckage.
It's a polite way to put it, to be honest.
Everything goes up for auction to the highest bidder. Yeah.
South Park, Evolve.
And Crytek, the developer, buys Homefront outright. Says, this is ours now. They start developing. Am I still got this right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I'm not missing any. Okay,
yeah.
I'm trying to make sure I'm remembering
on the right track.
Such a weird story. So they're making it with, and they assign it to Crytek UK,
which was Free Radical before.
Which was basically, which was Free Radical.
Time Splitters
people. Mm-hmm. So you've got a nobody
also the
from
Haze
Chaos,
people.
Totally new people, but good people.
Yeah,
you know, people with a good pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
Then Crytek decides to stop paying its employees at one point because they have run into some financial trouble. And Deep Silver comes in. They were going to publish the game. So they come in and go, all right, well, we'll save this project, but we're going to take advantage of you in your vulnerable state. And we'll keep this going, but we own it now. So they took what I understand is mostly the same people and opened another new studio called Dambuster. So it's still mostly those Free Radical people. And they are now working on the game. And it appears to now finally be coming out because it's been dated for May 17th.
Yeah. What a weird history. But that's why I was amazed when you said it was coming out.
No,
I saw this story
hell.
When we walked into the room and I was like, oh, wow.
So
they did it.
Both of us saw the game. You saw it at Judges Week 2014?
Correct. It was revealed at Judges Week, E3 Judges Week, which happens in May 2014.
Right.
Yep. I played it.
Yeah.
Which
you played something.
They told me not to say I played it back then, but F it.
F the police.
they don't. Those people are gone now.
Do something about it.
It doesn't matter anyway.
About it.
Yeah, I played it was a vertical slice that they showed and let us play. It was on PC. It ran like crap. Mm-hmm. But
as early games often
do. You don't hold that against it.
No, totally.
What I remember about that game was not only liking the idea of sort of an open world, you could sort of take missions here throughout Philadelphia. The engine, the Cry engine, was stunning in that. Yeah. Even though it was not running well, the rain effects in particular were both outside, they were incredible, and then like up against the window, it just looked... That was my weird major takeaway from it. It just looked incredible.
I'll be really curious to see how it stands up to your standards now.
Yeah, like, how it's turned out in the
it's
end.
A visual, it's
both in terms of how it has changed and
you
how
you saw
your
it at Gamescom.
No, I played it at PAX. So I played it in September, and definitely it wasn't. I mean, it was visually fine.
Yeah.
I think whatever.
Did you play on a console or a PC?
PC. I actually play PC.
Yeah.
Whatever you saw, I don't think is quite what that game was. I think
they told it was not. And I actually specified this in my preview. You can go back and look that. The vertical slice that I played and wrote about, they specifically said, isn't in the game.
Right.
What a vertical slice is. It's a piece you build up to say, as a proof of concept, say, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So, you played the real thing.
Yeah, I played the real thing, and I had a ton of interesting ideas. It still keeps that sort of, it's an open world-ish Philadelphia, and you have a squad, and you're going around the town has different factions are in control of different parts of the town, and you are accepting missions.
Yeah. Sounds a lot like Freedom Fighters, like a next-gen Freedom
Fighters. Totally Freedom Fighters.
Love
and
that
you're
game.
Crafting,
oh, that's
your,
good news
you're crafting
right there.
Weapons in like really weird ways. So
IO
like,
Interactive, the Hitman people, by the way.
Oh, I like Last, Freedom Fighters
fun
a lot.
Fact.
Yeah.
So good.
But there's a lot of creativity.
Also, fun fact,
that
game ran on 720p on the original Xbox.
Jeez. That was a really good game.
I don't know why I remember that, but go ahead.
Trivia. Write it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Like I played a single mission, and three people I know who played that same mission did it in completely different ways.
Nice.
A lot of cool future tech, and the game's interesting. And I think that May window is good for it.
Absolutely, you're right. And the one other thing I wanted to add is it's still got some of that chaos DNA in it, because there's drone stuff that you can drive. Like, you can drive the little RC cars and
RC cars
for reconnaissance and strap bombs to them and stuff.
Totally. Yeah, you can like target enemies and everything, and there are drones that will chase you and everything. So.
I vaguely remember in Homefront, and I might be completely misremembering, but I'm pretty sure in the multiplayer there were like tanks and APCs. Whether or not they were pilotable, you could like they were there.
I'm trying to remember now.
There are vehicles in the game.
So that's where I'm going. It's like, what is the vehicle?
I got on a motorcycle and was like running away from all these tanks and stuff.
Awesome. Because that was the big thing. Chaos. Like, the front lines was all about, like, vehicles, hey, let's all get in a chopper and go over there, and, like, a guy in a jet or whatever shoots us down.
Yeah,
it
was cool.
I don't even know if you can find it anymore, let alone, I guess there wouldn't even be anybody online, so
some
it's kind of moot. But
maybe try that.
Yeah, yeah. Homefront 1's multiplayer, super good, and I'll bet it holds up.
Yeah, totally.
I really do. So, yeah, I agree. May is a perfect time. Get that May window. There's nothing else that's
Mirror's
really...
Edge. Yeah?
Is that Mirror's Edge is May.
Ooh, these
is
are very different, though.
Yeah.
Oh, is it, though?
And you can play through Mirror's Edge pretty quickly.
Yeah, and this will be after stuff like Uncharted and Quantum Break and Dark Souls.
The thing about this game, though, with Homefront, we actually don't know if it has multiplayer, adversarial. We know it has a cooperative thing going on.
Good question.
But they haven't said, I don't think, if there is
no
proper multiplayer. I mean, I'm okay if there isn't, because...
If the single-player campaign's good enough?
Right.
Yeah. Something has to be good.
I'm still... I liked what I saw 2 years ago. I want this to be good.
Yeah,
and it does seem like it's just different enough,
totally.
From the usual fare.
And there's like no traditional FPSs coming out this first half. There's a ton. I mean, Far Cry, but there's like a ton, there's a ton of games coming out in the first half of the year, but none of them are really shooters.
You know, you know what?
Hallelujah.
This is like the Wolfenstein window, like the cool single player first person shooter.
Totally.
That's finds a good window of time to release in, and then maybe it'll do.
Yeah,
as well
I feel like
as...
this could be like sort of like Wolfenstein or like Dying Light was January, but one of those like sort of come out of left field that everyone plays and it sells well, and everyone's like, oh, this is actually cooler than I thought.
Mm-hmm. They gotta play Wolfenstein.
I wonder how much this game needs to sell, because you got
to
figure most of the money spent developing the game wasn't Deep Silver, right? Like, it was all that money is probably just lost to
Crytek
and
THQ.
I'd be curious how much of the game that exists now is the game that was, though. Like, the game that was in development before Deep Silver acquired it and maybe looked at it and said, no, start over or change this. Yes.
From what I have seen, it seems largely similar to the slice I saw
years ago. At the very least, it's always been about Philadelphia.
Right. And an open world sort of freedom mission based thing. Oh, and the other thing I didn't mention, there's a beta for the co-op multiplayer happening on Xbox One next month. So we'll have a real good idea of how this game plays very soon. I think if you go on the Homefront website, you can sign up for I don't know if you're guaranteed access or not, but take a look there if you are curious. Mitch Dyer.
Yes, sir.
Let's say you worked at IGN for 19 years.
Yeah.
But you hadn't written an article in like the last 5 years. What would you do with yourself all day?
Play a lot of Dota 2.
I knew you'd
like
say that.
Most Valve employees probably do.
So Mark Laidlaw, who's another name you may or may not know if you're a crotchety old bastard like me, you definitely know that name. He's one of the basically original members of Valve. He was the full-time writer employed at Valve since 1997. He wrote Half-Life. He wrote Half-Life 2.
I think he helped on Portal a bit with Eric and Chet.
Yeah.
But he did not explicitly write that game.
Right.
So Mark Laidlaw has left Valve. He said he did issue a statement, and including saying, my nickname when I first started at Valve in 1997 was Old Man Laidlaw. The little baby level designer who gave me that nickname is now older than I was then. So
that's how time works, though. I don't really get that statement.
He's just saying he's been there forever. That's his point.
He was the old man back in 97, and now 20 years later, the kid who called him the old man is older than he was then.
I like that Destin said that's how time worked, and then we explained to Destin how time works.
We mansplained time.
I still get it.
We just mansplained time to Destin.
I still get it. Well, so the other kid was always older than him. So, yeah, time went by and he's still older.
Look at my life.
Anyway.
I'm a lot like you.
He's saying he's old.
Yeah, got it. So, Mark Laidlaw, they've traded places, Destin. Mark Laidlaw is now the young
Somehow
kid.
The other guy is.
No, it's a Freaky Friday scenario.
Which one's Jamie Lee Curtis? I don't understand.
Gabe Newell.
Oh, that makes sense. So, yeah, he's left Valve, but, I mean, is it really a surprise that they haven't released anything with a script, anything narrative-based, since Portal, and he didn't really Portal 2?
Dota 2
shut up about Dota. Shut up your face
shut
hole.
Up.
Shut up about Dota.
There's no narrative.
It's got extensive deep lore.
You nerd.
Maybe that's what he wrote.
When Razor's not in the narrow maze, who's monitoring who can and can't come back? Not Vistage. He's also not in the narrow maze like he should be
patrolling.
Is that
a sex thing?
Yeah. I gotta go, guys. No, just kidding.
Yeah, the show's over.
So I feel like I bet a lot of things with scripts existed inside the walls of Valve. Things that
maybe
he probably worked on and that like Clint Hawking worked on.
I'm sure he worked on a bunch of VR stuff that's coming.
Or maybe he was writing that Dota 2 crap Mitch was just spouting off and he's like, I gotta go.
Is there a writer on Dota?
No, like, there's a lot. Greg Kassavin wrote on Dota. Like they
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wrote all the lore for Magnus.
Oh, Magnus.
He's one of the heroes. He's a big horn man. but it has a bunch of people writing on it.
But serious question. What do you think Mark Laidlaw did all day for the last, like,
I'm sure there's plenty of
years
they have.
I would imagine, because just...
And I'm not trying to insult the guy. I'm literally just like, if he's a writer, and they haven't shipped games that have had stories.
So everyone at Valve wears multiple hats. Like, when you go there, Valve is kind of the place where, like, experienced game devs go to retire. Because you have been in the industry for so long, you've acquired all these skills... Basically, like, creative directors and studio heads...
No, Ma, he's my dog. I'll do it.
...will leave their, like, where they've been forever, and they will go to Valve, and that's where they go and do literally anything they want. So you can go there as a creative director and become, like, a level designer, and that's fine. Or you'll be an artist, or you'll be a programmer, or you'll be a guy who works at the International. Whatever. Like, everyone wears multiple hats. So this guy who wrote Half-Life 2, who wrote all these games... has probably done other stuff behind the scenes. Like, he probably worked pretty heavily with the VR team. He probably worked on TI. He probably worked on a lot of TF2, Left 4 Dead, and he, like, just didn't get big credit for it.
Yeah.
I would imagine he was pretty deeply involved in everything Valve has done and has been doing and stuff that is coming.
Yeah.
But we just don't know it because it's not, like, Valve doesn't do credit very well. Like, it's not like, oh, this was all Mark, at least not lately.
That's true. I mean, even in the Half-Life credits, it's not written by Mark Laidlaw. It's... all the developers listed in the credit, just alphabetically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they don't even break it down.
Right, because everyone does so much. So it's possible that, like, I don't know, maybe Mark is, like, primarily a writer, but has a knack for programming and was coding Left 4 Dead stuff for a while.
So I don't know about you guys. I haven't been holding out any hope for Half-Life 3, but I think Laidlaw leaving Valve puts the nail in the coffin. That game's never happening. Or at least not under the current... Not at Valve. I think if somebody... makes it, it's going to be another developer that Valve just works with.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I optimistically also want to say, like, maybe his script is done. Like, maybe
it's possible.
Maybe he finished, and he's like, I'm not going to write more of this. I'm good. I am happy with where this script is, and then y'all can just figure it out when you make a game.
My last gasp of hope for Half-Life 3 was I thought maybe Valve would use it as a killer app for Vive. As a VR game.
Yeah. I mean, we played two really cool Valve-produced demos for Vive, one for Portal and one for Dota.
Dota 2.
And both were really cool, but those were, like, small, sort of, like, five-minute.
What was that, Marty?
What?
Dota 2 thing was really cool?
The Dota 2 thing is really cool. It's really cool. That game's a dumb game for dumb babies. Like,
yeah, it's fun.
The Portal 2 thing is you are in a room in Aperture Science, and you're sort of interacting with a bunch of... The way Vive works is it's a 3D space, so there's cameras in both corners of the room, so you're able to physically walk around a space. And there's a voice talking to you, giving you commands, and you're interacting with stuff, like, and it's... funny in the exact Portal way.
Yeah.
Like, you open a drawer and there's all these, like, little people walking around and it talks about, oh, you're now a god of their society. And the guy's like, Now, please close the drawer. You close the drawer, you just hear them all screaming.
you hear like an incinerator.
Yeah, no, you have ended their race. You open a door, and Atlas comes in and starts sparking. You fix something, and Gladys comes in at the end.
Yeah, like the big punchline for how cool the VR part is like Atlas. Is it Atlas? Or
Atlas is the fat little dude.
Yeah, so like you have to hold open a door, and he comes in, and it's cool, but then you have to repair him, and like his eye comes out, and he just kind of extends into this like giant floating piece, like hundreds of pieces of metal and material. Yeah.
And you're walking around in a 3D space.
And you can like twist it and turn it, and you're like trying to put pieces back together on a timer, and it's like this hilarious thing.
I'm now picturing Portal's aesthetic and... Yeah. I 100% want to play it. A made-for-VR Portal game.
Everyone would vomit forever.
I know, you get into those infinite loops.
Oh my God.
Just keep a trash can next to you.
Perfect, fine. It's got that front-facing camera now. You can
it was also cool because at the end, Gladys comes. And until then, I didn't realize how big Gladys is supposed to be. Yeah. And she's terrifyingly huge.
Yeah.
Like, she's like a T-Rex. Yeah. I've never seen a T-Rex before, but I'm assuming
G-Rex?
Woo! Did you play this or see this?
I played it at PAX with Mitch.
Yep.
And then it was at CES. Alana played it.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
And I watched her play it and laughed at her because she got scared when Atlas shot sparks.
Anyway, Mark Laidlaw leaving Valve. Yeah.
I just looked it up. He's like a renowned sci-fi fiction writer.
He is.
So he's probably just going to write some cool books.
But that's his thing. He's retiring to write books.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I like books.
That's a good life.
Leaving them.
What if Half-Life 3 is just a book? That'd be fine.
That would be the most epic troll in the history of the video game.
Every time Gordon Freeman speaks, just dot dot dot.
Half-Life 3 is never coming out.
That's not a video game.
It's coming out this year.
This is finally.
How about some good news for video gamers instead of somewhat sad news? I mean, it's good news for Leslie and good news for Mark. Kind of sad news for the rest of us. Here's some good news for the rest of us. Psychonauts 2 is funded, y'all.
Yeah.
Very happy about this. I put my pre-order in. Earliest I've ever pre-ordered anything.
Yeah.
Put my $33 in that I won't see
for three years,
let's be real.
Yeah.
But it's funded. It's happening. Congratulations to Tim Schafer, who's a friend of IGN.
It was like $3.5 million raised, something
3.8
like that.
3.8 at the end of the day.
Million? Yeah.
Wow. Their goal was 3.3.
Yeah.
They hit 3.8. Congrats to Double Fine as well.
Yeah, it's slated right now for fall 2018.
Correct.
All of us will be dead by then. That's my prediction. My 2016 prediction is that we're all dead by the time Psychonauts 2 comes out.
They are.
I just want to see Rogue One. That's all I care about.
And then Mitch can die happy. In the meantime, we sadly have nothing to look forward to on Xbox for Psychonauts, which is really sad.
Yeah.
I know they've been buddy-buddy with Sony because Sony's been helping work with Disney to get the rights to so they can do Full Throttle. And
this is why
Grim and
platform exclusivity pisses me off so much because it is actively hostile toward a very large portion of your audience.
Yeah.
People want to play your games, and by excluding them, you are telling them that their interest in your game doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, but maybe a lot of this stuff wouldn't have happened if Sony wouldn't.
Well, that's the other side of it.
Yeah.
I guess I look at it this way, and I don't know what the answer is. I wonder if, you're Sony, and you've got an in at Disney to go, and you love Double Fine, so you go make these things happen with them, and you say, well, cool, well, we made this happen, so these are just going to be on PS4 or Vita or both. Could you also step back and go, well, what if we also put this out on Xbox and made money off of that?
And all of a sudden, our logo is when you boot up the game, it's like published by Sony on Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, like, does it have
the Minecraft thing?
I mean, I get that there is, but there is like, okay, well, you want to add to your portfolio, and even though
potentially drive unit sales for hardware,
but even though Psychonauts or Grim Fandango or Full Throttle aren't going to be system sellers on their own, you're working on a collective library that's going to make your console
the
more appealing console. But yeah, like I wonder, why don't I know you can't put every game, you can't just have every Sony game on Xbox and have Sony making money because then you're not doing your platform favors. But what about some Psychonauts is 10 years old, almost 11 years old. Throw it Xbox's way, too. Come on.
It's coming out this spring it's being re-released on
PS4, yeah.
Which I assume is sort of the backwards or the thing we've seen with like the GTA games and Dark Cloud 2.
Well, I hope not because the PS2 version, like, well, really, hopefully it's the recently updated PC version. Yeah. But even the original Xbox version was a bit better than the PS2 version. Yeah. So I hope this isn't just the PS2 emulation thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
But we don't know yet.
Yeah, we don't know if it's going to have like trophy support and everything. And then next year there's going to be the
Rhombus VR, of Ruin, Rhombus the VR Ruin, thing.
Which is sort of the bridge between 1 and 2. Which, yeah. Not Mark Laidlaw. What's his name is writing? Eric Wolpa.
Eric Wolpa.
Sorry. They're all the same.
The walls same are moaning, guys. You may not be able to hear
the ghost
mic
of Eric Wolpa. Just Psychonauts. It's like we're in that awful swamp from Labyrinth that's like screaming and the big furry guy's angry.
Doing this, this is a really difficult show. I just want everybody to know that the degree of difficulty on this week's show.
Much respect to everyone for keeping it together.
I'm crossing my fingers that none of this comes through in audio, so we just sound absolutely insane.
Yeah, that's absolutely coming through, that hammering. 100%.
But yeah, no, it's a shame that, you know, if you've got a PS4, you're going to get to relive Psychonauts 1, which I've literally forgotten all of that game.
So good.
But not in a, like, that's it. I'm saying that's my problem. Not the games. It's not the game being unmemorable.
You've played 150 games since then and finished them.
That's it?
At least. I'm saying, yeah.
So what? You don't give me a lot of credit, do you? More like.
You probably reviewed 150 games.
Yeah, put another zero on that. It's 1,500 games. But yeah, so you get Psychonauts 1 on PS4 and then the Rhombus of Ruin thing for VR. But at least we are getting.
Yes.
Psychonauts 2 proper on Xbox One. And maybe, I don't know, I mean, we don't have original Xbox backwards compatibility yet. Phil has said he'd like for that to happen. He said it's possible. If it does, between now and 2018, we might still get to play Psychonauts 1 on our Xbox Ones.
Yeah.
Because guess what? I would bet an In-N-Out lunch, there's no way to prove it one way or the other, I'm gonna venture 80% or more of Unlock's audience has not played Psychonauts because they're all in their 20s and they probably didn't even have the original Xbox.
They probably completely missed out on 3D character platformers.
Played on PC.
Making a little resurgence.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. It's a super, it's fun. The game's hilarious. It does hold up. I played it 2 summers ago.
Nice.
Game totally holds up. Yeah, really smart, really fun.
Total aside, do you guys see that they hired the graphics director from Rare for Yooka-Laylee?
Yep.
Yes.
Bring the band back together.
Pretty
That's another game that holds up. I played through Banjo-Kazooie over Christmas break. That game holds up. I got 100%. Nice. We didn't even use a guide. I'm a broken human being. I forgot my mom's birthday last year.
And your own.
You forgot your own birthday last year.
I knew where every jiggy was. I knew where every ginger was. I knew where every note was.
Put your birthday in Banjo-Kazooie. We'll remember how old you are.
If my birthday was Stop and Swap, I'd remember how old.
Oh, man. That Rare replay, it's useful,
seriously.
Right?
Seriously.
Can't beat it.
Want more of that.
All right. Mitch Dyer, what can we spend our hard-earned money on? Is there anything to spend our money on yet
There's
in 2016?
A lot. Nothing at retail. It's all digital this week. I don't care about embargoes. This Friday, Oxenfree comes out. Buy it. It's my favorite game of the year.
That was one of the games.
Establishing a real good tone for the year. Oxenfree is amazing.
Yeah. Comes out Friday. I don't know. It's 15 or 20 bucks probably.
Something like that, yeah.
It's totally worth it.
It's Callie's
Xbox
on the review
One
now.
And PC, right?
Xbox One and PC, yeah.
Super charming adventure game about teens on an island where weird ghost stuff might be happening.
Yeah, it is. Ooh. Lost meets Poltergeist meets Freaks and Geeks. It's hilarious. It's terrifying. It's
touching.
Incredible.
It's
smart.
Yeah,
we keep talking about it.
It's really,
it's
good.
Really good.
That is next on my list after the thing I'm reviewing right now.
Yeah. Another awesome walking simulator that we all love. Gone Home, 20 bucks. Xbox One. Game's finally on consoles.
Finally coming to consoles.
Support that Steve Gaynor who was on last week. Listen to the show if you missed it.
Steve didn't come in here for his health. He came here to move some product.
He was so quiet every once in a while.
He just stops whispering
in the middle of sentences. The Banner Saga is also on console this week. 20 bucks. I'm playing that game on iOS right now. It is awesome. If you're into turn-based tactics, it looks like a modern version of like a
Disney
80s
cartoon.
It's almost like He-Man. It has that aesthetic.
Let me ask you this.
With Disney-esque
I can't imagine. So it's $20 on Xbox?
Yeah.
I can't imagine it's $20 on mobile.
I think it's like 10.
Is it worth the premium to play it on Xbox, you think?
It depends on your preferred way to play, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm playing because I can knock out a mission or whatever a few days on the train. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind that it's on a small screen, but I kind of regret not playing it on a big screen.
Okay.
To see
well, that's good to know.
It is so beautiful.
You have an iPad Mini. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, yeah, really fun game. Like, sort of simple tech, like Final Fantasy Tactics, like where it's not like,
yeah,
I'm not a big strategy guy.
It's
but
very
I,
unit
I really
and position based rather than
it's $4.99
like stats and
oh,
$5. That must be on sale. I swear to God, it was 10. I swear what, to God. I think I paid $10 for that game.
You got goofed.
Scores by Austin Wintory, who's amazing.
Yeah, Journey.
Music's
and
awesome. Sweet.
AC Syndicate. Speaking of AC.
Assassin's Creed Chronicles India is $10. I don't know anything about these except these are like the weird 2D things.
This is the second good. One. Yeah. The China was the first one.
I saw screenshots on Steam, and this one looks awesome.
Yeah, the color palette's
really
good.
Art is gorgeous.
Visually, or sort of, it reminds me from just looking at it of old school Prince of Persia.
Yeah, well, totally. It looks like Prince of Persia.
But I don't
classic,
know if it plays
basically.
That way.
Yeah, I don't know what these games are.
It's much faster. It's a faster action, but smart. It's stealth, not quite as good as Mark of the Ninja, but what 2D stealth is.
Yeah,
But it's oh, I'm about to click it because Vince's
perfect.
Review just went up.
Oh,
so
good.
We'll
so we
what
can
kind of a score
give us the scoops.
According to Vince, quote, prettier than before, but tedious trailing and stealth mission design kill the mood.
That really sucks because I was actually really excited to play this.
6.0. Okay.
Mitch's wiener just went
sad wiener.
Man, welcome Mitch's wiener to the podcast. Lower third, Mitch's wiener at Canadian Dog.
It is his lower third. His lower
third. It absolutely is not. Unepic is $10. On Xbox.
I looked
at another one of you.
It's me. That's their used me. And they didn't ask.
Again, Ryan McCaffrey, star of every modern video game.
The game does, it does look interesting, though. It's a sort of old school platformer, part adventure game.
Oh.
It looks really interesting.
I think this might be a PC port. I don't know. It sounds kind of familiar. Qbot, the complexity of simplicity. For $2, I'll check out whatever that is. Sounds cool. It's probably like a weird little puzzle game.
Yeah, our friend Mikey Barra from the Xbox platform team, he was raving. He said he 1,000 out of 1,000 gamer scored this. He really liked it.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
It's one of those, it's simple, visually simple puzzle games that then you just like completely lose yourself into. Yeah.
Like the impossible game.
Yeah. I keep looking up stuff we're talking about on the show today.
Come on, man. Get that Smart Glass app. Lovely Planet 850 has a free trial. I don't know what the game is, but it looks really pretty. This is another one that I think is on PC.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can buy this week on the marketplace for games with gold. All January, you can get Killer Instinct for free. And
right, Destin?
I think
right?
That's season one. So they're on season.
So it's like all the characters.
All the
and
season
stuff.
One characters.
Yeah, okay. Killer Instinct was always free. So I think you just you get all the characters.
You get a cool
Jaguar. That's what we were saying last week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Glad you're here, too.
Yeah, we were not sure last week. All right, Thief on December 16th through January 15th. I downloaded that.
Why not?
Don't particularly like that game a whole lot. Why not have it in my library
Thief
forever?
Thief 2 is Stealth GOAT. Greatest of all time.
Dang.
Is that what GOAT stands for? I always see people write
as
GOAT.
As a stealth game, Thief's not that
greatest
bad.
Of all
it's just
time.
As an overall product, though, it's kind of,
I like that. It does have really good stealth.
But this Thief is probably the least good Thief. Like it ranks fourth on the list of Thief games.
You know what really sucks about this is I bet if Dishonored,
it's a really great list.
If Dishonored had not come out, this game would have been phenomenal.
So that's what we were talking about this morning about order you play games in. How like one thing can diminish something else, even though it doesn't actually diminish the other.
If you've
quality.
Not played Thief or Dishonored, play Thief for free, and then go see what Thief could have been.
Yeah.
Because Dishonored is amazing.
Yeah.
It goes Thief 2, Thief 1, Thief 3, Thief, and Thief 4, Thief. Which is what this is.
And then Sea of Thieves.
But they're all good. They just go. They start at good and go up to Stealth GOAT.
Then Aladdin, King of Thieves.
The sad thing is that this game was so poorly regarded that we might never see Thief again. That's kind of scary.
It wasn't that it was poorly regarded. It was just, said it was mixed,
it was,
right?
Yeah.
Like there were people that loved it. There were people that really didn't. And
it got a lot of sixes
and
sevens.
Yeah.
You know, so, which these days is like apocalyptically terrible.
Yeah. A game can't be good. It has to be perfect or the worst. It's got to be garbage or not garbage.
Mitch
you
Dyer.
Said it. I didn't.
Dirt Showdown. Wait, is this? Okay, so now we're looking at. I skipped
are
one.
Are we past that?
Zeros.
What day is this?
What day is it? I think.
No, that's fine. But we're not the 15th yet.
We're
the
12th?
13th.
We're good.
We're close.
So you can, starting on Friday, you can get Zeros, which I've never heard of.
The Heroes.
Oh, yeah, so Thief in the next couple days, then Zeros becomes available. Don't know what this is.
As someone who listened to the episode last week, this is the most incomprehensible segment of the podcast
Imagine reading it every week. I hate it.
Should we get rid of it?
I was listening to it last week, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening. I was like, what?
I guess maybe I...
All right,
maybe
Killer
I can,
Instinct is free
maybe it's
all
it's laid
January
out.
Long.
Like, put it
so,
like,
yeah, maybe I maybe I can date. Organize it better so that it's easier to communicate.
Maybe Xbox can organize it better.
All right, free games for this month. Killer Instinct all month long. Thief until Friday. Zeros until February 15th, starting January 16th. On Xbox 360, you can get two free games. Dirt Showdown, available January 1st through the 15th. Running out of time. And then Deus Ex Human Revolution from the 16th until the 31st.
That's jump on game. That.
That's Deus Ex is good.
I'm going to do it like that from now on.
Do you think are we not going to get like a current gen version of that before Mankind Divided?
It's backwards compatible now, right?
Yeah.
It's too late, true. Right? It would have happened by now.
And if it's backwards compatible.
Square's not above it because they crapped out that Sleeping Dogs port up last year, which is like weird. File save as in 1080p.
Didn't they just cancel the MMO?
These backwards compatible games, you still need to turn on your 360 and download them, though,
was it?
To get them on
that
Xbox.
That was the developer,
of course.
You have to what?
Oh, okay.
For these backwards compatible games, do you still need to turn on your 360 to download it on Xbox One?
No.
You just download it on Xbox One. All these games are backwards compatible now.
Okay, so when it's free, I just go on my Xbox One and I download Deus Ex.
You can do it on your phone.
Awesome.
Groovy.
I haven't done it yet because I owned all the games already.
You can do it on your HoloLens.
But Deus Ex, I don't have a digital version.
That's a real good video.
Yeah.
All right, be right back with round two of trivia for 2016.
Bring it, Destin!
Unlock the lock. Can you take on the challenge?
Yeah! All right. Well, it's time to finish strong. Everybody's writing down their answers. It is unlock block trivia time. We still have to figure out. I thought we said we're just gonna inscribe the dookie and pass it from one person to the next year to year, but maybe one of our listeners will decide to just make a new awesome trophy.
The Dookie S?
I like you. Even though that's sort of it's a contradiction.
It's a dookie, but a lady.
Why'd they call it the S? Small? Is that what the S stood for?
I don't know if we ever got an explanation for... But you would think
super.
So.
I want my explanation.
Significantly better than the Duke.
I want my explanation.
Your man.
You know who I can ask Seamus Blackley? He would probably
there
know.
We go. Boom. Got them hookups.
Yeah. Anyway... Well, maybe that should be this year's trophy, is the S.
An S?
Yeah.
I like that. Different controller every year.
Yeah. We're going to run out really fast.
Yeah.
It won't take long.
And then
Xbox 4 better come out soon.
No,
we're
going
to
do a Steel Battalion trophy.
That would be incredible.
A Kinect.
That's
a
true.
Kinect
we could do a
2.
Kinect 1, a Kinect 2. We could get into...
A chat pad.
Chat pad's the... remember that really... really terrible Konami band game with that like that
the six
worth
six
awful
string.
Drum set.
Oh God, oh,
yeah. Remember that one? I can't even remember the name of it.
That A3 was awful.
But yeah, we could. So I guess we got enough. We got enough trophies.
We'll be fine. The
got 30,
DJ Hero.
Yeah,
turntables,
different
and gold.
Steering wheels, rock bands.
We're all gonna be dead by the time Psychonauts comes out. So what does it matter?
Look, just because your liver doesn't work anymore, don't drag the rest of us down.
My liver will hold out for Psychonauts 2. It's fine.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Tribute time.
Get it together, Destin.
I can't decide. There's two.
Now you have to because I took the pencil away.
Yeah.
Our question comes to us from Calvin Johnson, who's down in Pasadena, Maryland. His gamer tag, if you want to meet a cool person online to play video games with, is he's left out a vowel here, but it's Dark Horse 138. That's DRKHORSE 138 altogether, no spaces. Calvin Johnson, you have won, sir, and he elected to choose a copy of Gears of War 2, backwards compatible for his Xbox One, because that was the one Gears of War he didn't have.
Nice.
Hope he's enjoying that.
It's good Vigi.
It is a good game, minus that dumb worm part in the middle. Which I will for which one of you is it that I argue with that?
Oh,
about?
It's the best Gears of War.
Don't start
it's the
with
best
two.
Gears of War. Yeah,
no, three is
no. It's Obama said it was the best during his State of the Union address.
During his final State of the Union.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Calvin Johnson's our winner. He sent in this question, so I'm going to try to see how you guys do here. During a recent podcast, Major Nelson revealed which game as being the most played backwards compatible game on Xbox One. So which of these 360 games that I'm about to read you has been played the most as a backwards compatible game on Xbox One? Is it Battle Block Theater? Popular game. Gears of War 3? Popular game. Mass Effect? People still love it, still play the hell out of it. Or Borderlands? Another game. People still play the HE double hockey sticks out of.
No one's playing Borderlands 1.
Nobody's playing... I don't want to tell us.
Have we all written down our answers?
Yeah, I got
my answers.
All right. I'm going to go to our reigning champion.
That's you, Destin.
Destin Legarry.
I'm pretty sure I'm wrong.
Good. Real confidence to start the year, Destin.
Well, there's this...
Hand that trophy back
there's
over
a
now.
Lot of Gears of War multiplayer stuff going on right now, like competitive multiplayer. Right. So I was going to guess Gears of War, but I don't know. I kind of want to go with Mass Effect, just because I know that was like the first one that they showcased along. And then Borderlands was also showcased, but I just feel like Mass Effect kind of has this audience still. So I went to see Mass Effect.
Okay. Marty.
I went with Gears of War 3, if only because this is the one whose multiplayer is sort of resonant that I can imagine people still playing. And also, the Gears 3 came with people who bought Gears Anniversary in those console bundles.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was like almost pack-ins.
Also, interesting
who's
logic.
Who's playing BattleBlock? Who the hell's playing BattleBlock?
Nobody's playing BattleBlock.
Castle Crashers, they're still, which is
I'm
that other
developer.
I'm
definitely
developers.
Still playing Castle Crashers.
Castle Crashers are way
also, Borderlands 1 is
hey,
dumb.
By the way, don't... BattleBlock's a good game. Man, it's not, you know...
It's not Castle Crashers.
It's New Thief. To Thief Goat.
That's a fair point.
There we go.
Yes. That is a goat thief.
Mitch? I'm with my boy, Marty. I also said Gears 3.
I think you guys got it.
Thanks, Seth.
For the same reason that Marty said.
Thanks,
Mitch off to a commanding lead to start the year. Yes, Gears of War 3 is the correct answer. That brings Mitch to 2 points. You're 2 for 2, my friend. Marty on the board with 1, tying Sean Finnegan. Destin with the donut.
Destin and Steve Gaynor tied with 0. Can we constantly bring up that Steve?
Yeah, absolutely.
Steve in last Steve has place 0 points.
Gainer's going to phone in, get a point, take the lead over
and Destin has laid down the law at the beginning of the year. No call-ins this year.
I think it'd be better because if it caused controversy last year, then just, no, don't do that.
Oh, like, can there be,
you got what you wanted.
Can there
I relinquished
be Mitch
my
allowing
point.
You multiple chances to come back? Is that still allowed? I remember that last one.
Thanks, man. I didn't want to bring it up.
I was in
Seemed
the room.
Petty. Somebody else did. Now I feel good.
He didn't give me multiple chances.
Oh, I gave you multiple.
Give me one.
No, there were 3 questions that episode. I just wanted to leave. And
it's on tape.
Questions just kept getting answered.
That was for, like the winner was established, and then the other questions were for the previous year.
That's true. He has a point there.
Yeah. And I didn't care about the previous
year. Didn't we use
year.
Them all? I don't remember. 2015 was so long ago.
We needed a tiebreaker question.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch got it right. Like, Mitch won.
I won, and then I relinquished my phone-in call.
Yeah.
My call-in point. Right.
You know what?
So
I mean,
that we
I
could have the trivia off.
Yeah.
Because it was way more fun.
All that matters is Steve Gaynor's in last place.
Yeah. With Destin.
Yeah.
With Destin.
That's Steve right now.
Let me out of here. I knew that trivia answer.
For context, there's a very large drill happening outside.
It sounds like the worst dentist appointment ever happening in the adjacent room.
Should we get us out of here?
I don't think it's popping up on the sound, so maybe they can't hear it.
We're just going to be looking like fools this week, as usual. Anyway, if you would like to play and win a copy of, again, at the moment, I have mostly a bunch of copies of Gears 1, 2, 3, and Judgment for 360 that are playable on your Xbox One. There might be a couple of other games in my pile as well, but mostly those. If you want to play and potentially win, all you got to do is send an Xbox-related trivia question to us. Include 4 multiple-choice answers, note the correct one, and make it a good question. Not too hard, not too easy, and not one we've done before. Where can they send that, Mitch?
Destin sucks with an X at IGN.com.
That's a different site when you get the X's involved.
Unlocked at IGN.com.
That's what I create that alias.
That's a site. When you're interacting with your lower third, that's a site you go to. Anyway, what is it really?
Unlocked at IGN.com. Unlocked at IGN.com.
All right. Let's hit the road, Chewy. And whoever the rest of you are. Please stop. Before we plug things, this is a reverse plug. This is an anti plug right here. This is a
don't listen to podcast unlocked.
This is a pulling the plug. I've been told that our IGN app for Xbox 360 is being basically discontinued, as it were. We've got our Xbox One app now. The terminology is it's being retired. Let's not say discontinued.
It's going to hang out.
But it'll be deleted.
It's off. Yeah.
Mark Wade Love.
It's being retired, and by retire we mean it'll be forcibly removed from your console.
Yeah.
Thank you, Destin. Yes, I was going to say it maybe
just
a little
like
gentler
your,
than that.
Just like your childhood turtle was retired and went to that.
It's
going to
be ripped away from your Xbox.
It's on the 19th. January 19th is the day I was handed just before going on the air.
Not our decision.
And we wanted to warn you. It will, in fact, as Destin callously notes, It will actually be removed from your 360.
So we're going to hold a Viking funeral.
Sorry.
Love it.
And hopefully you have an Xbox One and can check out our app on there.
Can we put a 360 on a little raft and then push it out into the bay? Just and start Homefront, another Homefront incident. Shoot it with little fire arrows.
Oh, boy.
Nice. Yeah. I like that. We should do that, actually.
Yeah.
So another thing that you have on here that Zune still exists?
I doubt it.
I think that's just a copy-paste
That's been on there for like
over.
Ever.
That's, 2 years.
That's for like ever. I see Zune, I'm like, wow.
Leftover copy.
Hillary that's actually still wrote a that thing? Copy.
If you own a Zune, tweet at Destin Legarry and show me a picture of it.
Oh, they will.
If you still use
they
it.
They will.
Yeah, my favorite thing I ever saw was an iPad case that was a Zune, so that nobody was stealing your iPod.
That's like codenaming Rock Band 3 Rock Band Nickelback.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, man. Which happened, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, it's a new year. IGN Prime is a great way you can support IGN in the new year, help pay our salaries, keep the lights on, keep the podcast going. You can go to IGN.com/Prime, give us $30. We'll give you a year of ad-free IGN viewing on your desktop and with videos as well on mobile. So, and again, we occasionally have the free game or free beta access to something going on too. So IGN.com/Prime is the site there. We would love it if you would take a look. Marty Sliva,
yes.
What do you got?
You can follow me at Mick Biggity with 2 G's and 2 T's. Check out my Gone Home review. All the words are from September 2013, but the video is from yesterday. The game is still amazing. I gave it a 9.5 back then. I was a better writer back then, too, which is, I don't know how that happened.
Dude, I feel that way every day.
That's not how it's supposed to go.
I feel that way every time I look back and read something like 4 years. I'm like, man, I was way better writer then.
Yeah.
I was way funnier.
Yeah.
Way smarter.
So check that out. That game's incredible. Also, play Oxenfree on Friday. It's really good. And then I was at CES last week, and Brian Altano and Alana Pearson and I did a bunch of videos on real things like VR and fake things like robots.
When does Robot Roundup come up?
I think it might already be up.
Oh my god, go find Robot Roundup 3.
Mm-hmm. Real dumb.
Love
this
it.
Is why I'm a worse writer.
Destin?
Follow me on Twitter at Destin Legarry. At IGN, I've been doing a lot of Fallout mods and stuff like that. But last night I played this game, That Dragon Cancer, and I kind of want more people to talk about it. It's a story.
PC?
It's PC only right now.
Okay.
It was a Kickstarted thing. Like Kelly Santiago helped out with it from Journey and like Flower fame and stuff like that. But it's a story about a father dealing with his child who is dying of cancer.
Oh my God, if I play that, I'm going to break as a human being.
I cried.
Yep.
I cried.
I would
but,
cry like a baby.
I did a Let's Play of it on my Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/TheDestin channel. So you can check out the archive there. Otherwise, I'll be publishing it on YouTube if you want to check it out. But if you want to play it, it's on Steam today. It's $14.99.
Yeah, it's a true story. Autobiographical.
Yeah, wow. It's a true story. They use actual audio of the child. They use actually audio of the husband and wife, like on the voicemail. It's very emotional and it's very powerful. There's a little bit of religion in there because it's their story and they're a religious family.
They're
Catholic.
Family.
Christian, yeah. So there's a little bit of that in there. But I really, really enjoyed it. And it was kind of a special thing that I think it's rough. Like it's made by this guy, basically. But yeah, check it out. And then I probably should have opened with this, but I'm going to be at PAX South. So
yeah, way to follow the.
I'd rather end on this.
So if you see me at PAX South, say hi. I'm the only one from IGN going. Sean
really?
Sean will be there doing some video work, but he won't be there hosting a panel or anything. So say hello if you see me there. As far as I know, I'm the only one
going
at this time.
Don't say hello to Sean.
No, say hi to Sean too. But he'll be on a different team. But yeah.
Team Discovery Channel.
Team Discovery
Channel. Mitch, did I go to you yet?
I am at MitchyD on Twitter. I'm working on a review for Punch Club, which is an iOS and PC game. Pretty cool. Conflicting thoughts. Look forward to that. I think that's really the only thing I'm working on at the moment. Listen to IGN Overclocked. That's our PC show. So if you want to listen to more Steve Gaynor, he was on that show last week as well. And this week we have Garth from Firaxis talking to XCOM 2.
Is Wayne going to be next week?
Damn it, that was good.
I'm really excited for XCOM 2. I'm playing XCOM 2.
Wait up, guys! I fell in my keys! Yeah.
Also, Mitch... they should also play Oxenfree.
Play Oxenfree. Game is really good.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me on Twitter at DMC_Ryan. I got a weekly Tesla podcast I do if you think that electric cars could be fun. And check out my Twitter profile for cool t-shirts that you can buy. And IGN First this month is Perception, which is a game that was successfully kickstarted and is now very much in production. at the Deep End Games, which is led by, which is formed by a mostly ex-irrational people, including the lead is Bill Gardner. He was basically the lead designer on Infinite and one of the designers on
Bioshock 1.
Bioshock 1.
Nice.
Got some interesting stuff. There's a bunch of footage of the game. You are a blind girl. It's a horror scary. Game.
It's spooky.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, she it's like an echolocation thing where she taps her white stick.
You're Daredevil, basically.
Kinda,
yeah. You have Daredevil type.
But powers. Like, you know, she'll just kind of see stuff for a second, and it's very creepy. You're chased around this old 18th century house by the Presence, which is this unkillable force that you have to hide from.
Horrifying.
Game looks really cool, and in fact, even as part of that, I did a sort of let's play basically with Bill of Welcome to Rapture from Bioshock One, where he talked about.
Cool.
Sort of shared some interesting developmental anecdotes from the beginning, that very, very memorable beginning of
One
Bioshock 1.
One of the best openings of a game ever.
Yes, take a look at that. And yeah, I'm reviewing a video game that I can tell you about soonish, but it's very high on my wish list, so I'm eager to dive into it. We'll talk about that. And I think, are we done?
We did it, guys. No one cried this episode. Maybe next week.
Yet.
Hopefully all of our mics worked. I hope.
Looks like
pray
it.
Pray to God. Pray to Dave Tool.
Yeah. For our Lord Dave Tool.
Base Tool.
Tool time.
Tool time.
He's probably what's going on. And on that note.
Let's get out of here. For Mitch, Marty, and Destin, I'm Ryan. This was Podcast Unlocked, episode 228. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.